As parents, we work very hard to both provide for our kids when they're kids, but also to set them up as best as we can to be functioning adults. And that second task is a bit different for high net worth families. There might be a significant nest egg that, if managed well, could serve many generations to come. Sadly, that doesn't always happen. Hence the phrase, shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations. This is a real phenomenon, so what to do about it? Krista Kerr is the CEO of Kerr Financial, an integrated wealth management firm. She's in Toronto today. Hi, Krista.
Hello, Bruce. How are you?
So shirt sleeves is the Canadian version. In Japan, it's rice paddies to rice paddies in three generations. How would you characterize this in layman's terms?
Well, I think, as you say, it is very universal. Every culture has a variant of this. You know, in Ireland, they're saying clogs to clogs.
Right.
Generation, so it can be anywhere. I think the concept or the fear I think that people have is that you, in your first generation, you build a business or a family nest egg, as you said, and you may have come from nothing and you've built something up, and then your next generation has, you know, better university and goes fancier houses and they spend more. And then, you know, they're not necessarily adding to the nest egg. And then the third generation, everybody is lavishly spending. Nobody is adding to the wealth. And all of a sudden it depletes and the fourth generation has to start all over again. I think that's the sort of the fear that people have is that they're going to maybe squander an opportunity that they have for their families.
A fear, but also wouldn't the data play this out? Isn't this pretty common in actuality?
It is actually very common. I think, you know, there have been a few recent studies that have shown that the wealthiest of families might take longer than three generations to completely deplete.
Right. Harder for Bill Gates's kids to burn through $50 billion or whatever that amount is.
Exactly. But there's many reasons why you can put pressure on that, you know, whether it's just from more people spending to other things like having, you know, families that can't functionally make decisions together and are suing one another like we see in the papers these days.
Well, the high profile story that we're talking about these days is the Stronix. And I'm sure you in your work see tough scenarios across the spectrum from, you know, challenging communication to all out nuclear war like we're seeing with the Stronix. What do families need to focus on from a communication standpoint? If we assert that a part of it is how they communicate as members of a family, what are the conversations that need to be had and when?
Yeah, and I think part of that, if you step back, you know, a family can say, I don't actually worry about keeping this together. I'm just going to spread my money apart. Everyone can make their own decisions. But if you start from the point of view that you as a family want to keep the family wealth together and you really want to make the best decisions and choices, then it's important to say that's really what our conscious choice is. And we want to look at the purpose of this money and we want to educate our next generations to be good owners in the future, and we want to have governance structures that help us make decisions together. So if you've made that decision, then I think it becomes a lot more about how, you know, right from early ages, you know, we use some resources about family education that show, you know, what should kids be learning when they're 5 and 6, you know, about the fact that money involves choices and it's not just, you know, you get everything you want. You have to have choices. You can look at how you can use allowances. And then you get a little bit older and how can they budget for themselves? How do they start learning about investments, et cetera? So I think if you have that purpose of wealth conversation with yourselves or your family and you commit to this, then it becomes very important to look both at the stream of how do we help give our kids the tools to make good choices financially and how do we start making decisions together, which can be things you can do around family charitable giving or around bank accounts or around gifts and how, you know, how they use allowances for different purposes, et cetera.
I was talking to a partner at a family office recently and asking what are the characteristics of families who do this well, who can sustain wealth over time. And she said one of the big factors is values. And often it is families who have some religion that they practice. Where would you net out on this idea of values? And what do you think fosters values within families?
Absolutely. Values are critical, I think. And you do tend to find it with families that are maybe together around a community activity or religion. But I think part of what we try to do, you know, if we're working with a family that has decided, yes, we want to keep money together as a family, one of the tools some people will use is a family foundation, for example, or a family pool of money that they're going to use for donations. And we've done a couple of good sessions where we bring the whole family together, even with kids as young as 12 or 13, and we start talking to to them about, you know, what are the values that you remember being passed on to you by your parents and grandparents, and what values do you want to pass on to your children, and what are the experiences that you remember together that were really positive around either charitable giving or around financial choices, et cetera. So we get everybody to sort of share stories like that and build up a common view of what the family's values are. And then those values, you know, it's very easy to translate them to how are we going to give money together, but they actually have a broader purpose because they think really about, you know, how do we want to manage this money together as a family and what's important to us.
How do you foster hunger for people who don't actually have to work? Like they don't have to work because there is a trust fund, or at least someone's going to pay for the roof over their head, which might be in stark contrast to the parents or the grandparents who started the business who were working so hard because they literally had nothing. Is there a way to do that? I was talking to one guy who grew up in a high net worth family, and he said his dad intentionally left a quarter of the land uncared for by the landscaping crew. And so the kids all had to take care of that. And he said they didn't realize until they were adults that this was a technique. They thought it was like they didn't have enough money to pay the landscaper to do the whole lawn, so they had to do it. But are there ways to create artificial scarcity where in reality there is none?
Well, I think that's a big topic. I think the one common thing I would say about all of our families that we work with, or even all clients at all levels of wealth, is that they want to empower their kids, but they don't want to take away that desire to be productive, successful members of society. You know, that's a positive experience for people to have too. So I think part of it is that idea of right from the beginning, making sure people have to make a choice. So you don't always get, you know, even as a 5 or 6 or 8 year old, you don't just get whatever toy you want. You've always got to learn that, you know, it might be this or that. And then I think, you know, while you may have a lot of wealth set up, it may be set up in a way that you're only going to have so much that will pay for certain basic needs, as opposed to you never having to work again. So I think part of it is that. I think part of it is also having that discussion about we need this money to last for future generations. And so you can't actually spend everything, or there won't be anything left for your children and your children's children. So I think some of that, but I think also that idea of, you know, having people learn to manage on a budget, you know, so even though they might have unlimited resources in the trust, while they're going to university, they should know that they have a certain amount of money for that school year and they have to make it work.
And to pay for the private jet to Cabo, because that's not free. That's not free. Now, I want to ask you just before we go here, do you think the risks of this phenomenon are higher now or same or less than in the past? And I ask because there is this notion of entitlement, and I know the millennials hate that word, but we do certainly, regardless of age, we do certainly live in an era of immediate gratification in a way that we didn't before, regardless of how old you are. Do you think the risks are higher?
I think that is true. And I think it is not just generational. I think everybody looks for that big house or the big car, you know, not everybody's realizing that it isn't necessary to amass all those items to be happy.
Yeah.
So I think it is important if, you know, there's lots of ways you can perpetuate family wealth if you want to do it. And part of it has to do with, you know, what do we need to do to make sure this money lasts for a long time? How do we manage for taxes and inflation and positive returns? And let's consciously do that, and let's consciously work together to make sure, you know, we're doing the right estate planning so we're not facing extra taxes, and we're, you know, going to make positive decisions together so we're not going to sue each other in the future.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think there is a bigger risk because of that materiality of our society, and therefore it takes a bigger commitment to talking about those values up front and doing that education up front and working together to make sure things do last.
Really appreciate your perspective, Krista. Thank you.
That's my pleasure.
Krista Kerr is the CEO of Kerr Financial, an integrated wealth management firm. She was here to talk to us about multi-generational wealth and how to preserve it.